Staff reports.
Real quickly, we're going to fund Pierford tomorrow, so that'll be up and running. And Ocean Avenue Onsite is next Wednesday, and Jerry and Rusty are going to go on that one. And we're going to visit to a couple of DLJ properties in Los Angeles with that visit as well.
You're funding
Pierford
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Question for you, Tim. With the upcoming NCPERS conference, is there anyone that we are still in contract negotiations with that we run into those people we should not be speaking to?
Yep, you're in contract negotiations with Sigula Guff, Adam Street, and Ocean Avenue at this point.
Okay.
Those contracts have not been finalized.
Cool. So that leads me to the next question, which is the Sigula Guff conference, which I am going from Chicago to New York next week.
You just can't talk about the product that's under consideration.
Okay.
We have real estate product with them. That should be your focus for this. And just minimize your contact with the private equity team.
Okay.
Christine, anything else? Kurt?
I guess I could say we're on schedule with the benefit statements. They should be sent out next month.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Outside professionals report. Harvey?
We didn't schedule a closed session on the AB 197 litigation for some reason this time, but so if I may, I'll just report on what's going on publicly so you know what's happening. Friday, there's a hearing at 10 o'clock. We don't know what courtroom yet. This is the judge's swan song. His official retirement is the 30th of April. At the last hearing in March, he directed the parties to get together and try to develop a form of judgment and any writs that have to be issued commanding the board to do anything like that so that he could look at them on the 25th and enter final judgment in the case. That process was going around in circles. We actually were not involved in the process until very late when it looked like it was going to crater because the other parties couldn't get together on the terms that they thought should go in the judge's judgment. We picked it up at that point about 2 days before the due date to file something with the court because nothing had gotten done, and so we prepared a form of judgment and a writ that the other parties agreed to accept, both the Attorney General's office and all the union and petitioners agreed to sign on to that. So in the last 48 hours, we were able to lodge with Judge Flynn an uncontested form of writ and judgment to be entered in the case. So I fully expect on, and no objections have been filed since then, nobody's had second thoughts. So on Friday, I fully expect, unless the judge has some problems, and the judgment just tracks what his decision was for better or worse, unless he has problems, I expect that on Friday or Monday, he will be entering judgment in the case. And at that point, whoever wishes to file an appeal will have 60 days to file an appeal. Now, speaking of 60 days, because I know that's front and center in a lot of current members' minds, that 60-day stay that's been in place through the litigation over the last year and a half, the way that is written into the papers is that the writs commanding changes in the board's calculation of final compensation will not take effect for 60 days. This avoids, it's technical, but it avoids the problem of the judge entering a judgment and suddenly having no further jurisdiction and being able to have an order that sits out there for 60 days. So this way there will be a 60-day, if the judge accepts this form, there will be that 60-day period after the judgment's entered. That status quo will remain the same as it has. Anybody retiring in that period of time will get what this policy of this board has been for the last number of years for those people. After that, the stay will burn off. unless they go to the Court of Appeals, whoever appeals, and ask for a stay.
What?
So that's how it will come down. Any questions?
Yeah, I just have a suggestion around that issue. If it occurs, as you just mentioned it, that we get a memo out to all active employees indicating the stay will absolve on X day, and if you are entertaining retiring, now is the time.
I have a problem with that.
I do too.
Because,
we
can do that, but in my other hat, our employees are following this minute by minute. And I'm only concerned, Jerry, that memo going out might send the message of, it might send the wrong message to the public. And I think we should remain neutral in that regard. They've got labor organizations who are taking care of them.
That I could dispute with you, because we just had a case here where when a member passes away, if they don't fill out a form that says that they're eligible for
that,
the beneficiary is eligible for the benefit, then, well, labor unions were aware of that. But yet we still had a case come before us. I think the same thing could happen around this issue. I think that if we don't at least make it known to our beneficiaries, the people we serve, you know, if we don't at least make it known to them that on X day they're not going to be able to get what they think they or thought they were going to get, then, you know, that's a disjustice to them. I don't care what the public thinks. We serve our beneficiaries.
Well,
we don't serve
the
public.
I don't know that it's a disjustice to, or a disservice.
And that's
to
just worth it. Yeah. Well, we may disagree, but that's so. Both points need to be brought up.
You know, Karen Levy and the system have been very conscientious in posting developments in the case on the CICERA website throughout the entire process.
Right.
And I assume that's what you're saying, is just post the development on the website. I don't know what more.
And that I don't have a problem with, as long as it's neutral. I don't want a memo going out that says, hey, if you didn't know, this is what could happen, and so if you want to take advantage of what it currently is, you need to do this by then. I would prefer a statement that given a 60-day, and anyone who retires under these next 60 days will have whatever this retirement board's policies are in place, blah, blah, blah. I think it should be very neutral, very factual, and not, y'all come down if you didn't
know
that. Right.
Shouldn't encourage or discourage.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
It has in the past been very neutral, and Karen's worked very hard to do that, and I'm sure that will be the case here. And fortunately, the judgment and the writ are only a couple pages long, and they're pretty clear, so there shouldn't be any confusion over it.
And kudos to get that many disparate interests to agree on a judgment, in form of judgment written 2 days, because that's extraordinary.
That's what it took. I didn't think it was appropriate for us to walk into the judge after all this and say, you know, we're still fighting over your
gun,
right?
Your order. Your order is your order. You know, it's going to stand and fall on its own. Let's just get it inked.
If I could add to that, we heard, and I don't believe this is confidential or work product, although the Board of Supervisors received this information from our attorneys in closed session, but I want to make sure the message is clearly conveyed, and that is that one of the plaintiff's attorneys has approached the county to help in facilitating getting declarations from the sheriff and our fire chief to support a stay going up to the Court of Appeal. And the board was concerned about that, so I want to be real clear our direction and what the request was. It's just to facilitate how the impact of immediate retirements would in fact impact those two departments. My comment was the sheriff is an elected official and can do as he wishes. The fire chief does report to the board as Contra Costa Fire, but we did agree that any declaration going forward would be factual in nature and not in an advocacy role, but it would be factual that should a stay not be granted by the Court of Appeal, there is an expectation that these many public safety members could exit, and the impact that would have on public safety to the county. So if you hear in the paper or read or anything like that, the county is not taking an advocacy role in whether there should or should not be a stay. We just agreed to assist in getting declarations on the impact should a stay not be granted. It's a fine line, but I think it's clear enough, but I wanted to take this opportunity to let you all know so that when you hear that out there, because the county has not been a party to the lawsuit, and we're not going to become a party to the lawsuit, just factual information.
Thank you. Will, Jerry?
Yeah. I was just going to essentially reiterate Harvey's point that it's been on the website and it's been the updates have been very factual. And additionally, members that are doing meeting with counselors are also aware of the lawsuit also. So it's, you know, we're making everyone aware of it, and I think that we should follow that.
Because you bring up a very valid point, but I think that's a very different situation, because that's something I'm a longtime member, I didn't even know was available, but everybody's been following this lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, the contrast I would make to the other situation was that that was truly a one-off in my experience and talking to other, you know, other people past and present. Whereas here, you have represented parties in a case. I mean, you have...
Well, it's been the press.
You know, the current members have active legal representation in this case and have aggressively and zealously sought to protect their interests. So
management doesn't.
Pardon?
Management's not represented in the case.
I can vouch that I've gotten phone calls and emails from unrepresented parties who asking what's
I'm
going
sure
on.
I'm sure they're aware.
But that's my point.
But they're not
they can find out the information.
But right, how do we notify them to look? I mean, I don't think it would certainly we'll craft a letter as neutral as possible, simply laying out the facts that the current terminal pay benefit structure granted to SARA members is scheduled to end on such and such date as a result of Judge Flynn's current ruling, and basically just provide them that information and they can do with it what they want.
Whatever the outcome of the case is.
Whatever the outcome of the case is.
I just wanted to report that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Frank, just so you understand, we have an obligation to educate our members on the plan.
And that's fine, as long as it's factual and neutral.
As soon as Judge Flynn's judgment gets entered, it becomes part of our plan document, literally. We may end up having to file it with the Internal Revenue Service. So this affects benefits of members, and we have an obligation to educate our members on the benefit structure of the plan. It's just as simple as that. Not to take a position on whether it's good or bad.
I think it should be factual. That's okay. It. I'm not saying go do it. I'm just saying
this is what's happening. This is what's happening. And if you
have questions, call.
Right. And you got to this point, basically, if you plan on doing whatever.
Right.
That's fine.
To that point also, when the counselor...
Can we give him your phone number,
Harvey? 1-800-CALL-HARVEY.
Give him your number.
Operators are standing by to take your call.
Louis, to your point, when the counselors meet, there's no recommendation on the retirement board that you need to retire.
Right.
Here are your options. You make your own decision. We should just follow that there's a lawsuit, and whatever the outcome of the lawsuit is.
Whatever it is.
I mean, that's it.
Because if you tell somebody, this is what's happening, you retire, and then something else happens, they're going to be right back here and say, you made me retire.
You made me, yeah.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
And then depending on...
You don't want to be there.
Depending on any action by the Court of Appeal, we may be sending out a second letter.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
So, I'll... Harvey, if you could talk to Karen about that.
Sure.
Possibly drafting a
letter. Absolutely. And so the hearing is at 10 o'clock. I can't tell you what courtroom it's in Judge Flynn was trying to see if he can get back into the main courthouse in his old Department 6 if it's dark that day.
Wants to finish it in the where he started it, right?
Wants to finish in the way he started it. I'll put word out so that if anybody's interested in coming, you'll get it as soon as we know what courtroom. So yeah, we're not wandering around the square there in Martinez on Friday. But 10 o'clock, and then I'll let you know if it's entered that day or if he thinks about it or maybe he raises some other questions and we start from scratch or something again. So that's the status.
But yeah, if you could let us know if it was final or not, that'd be a big help.
Okay. Marty, anything from...
Let's see. Dory will be accompanying the staff, the board members, to Ocean Avenue next week. And I'm working on some research and some plans, but that's not ready to present.
Okay.
Work in progress.
Great. Okay. Trustee comments. Karen.
Can we have an update on our hiring practice for our new executive director?
Funny you mention that. As soon as we adjourn, then the committee is going to go into a meeting discussing terms and.
Do we have a date, or is that still under negotiation?
Yeah, we got any.
That's still under negotiation. Hopefully.
Is this the first
possible.
Time the group has met since the board made direction?
We've been gathering information with regards to contract terms and other. Benefit information.
So out of this committee meeting, you're hopeful that we'll be able to make an offer?
An offer to present to the candidate.
Does our candidate know that we want, or has there been any communication with either of the candidates since the interviews?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Excellent. So hopefully at our next board meeting, we'll have some update. That's
yes.
I'm just curious. Thank you.
Okay.
Just wanted to ask, we have a SACRS conference coming up May 13th through the 16th, and don't we normally have on our agenda like some voting stuff for SACRS?
That happened last meeting.
We did that.
Last time.
Okay.
Last time, yeah.
Louis got all the proxies. He's fine.
Yeah. You got it. Good,
Will? Will?
Yesterday, I attended the Pension Bridge in San Francisco. Tim was sitting next to me there. It was the first time I've ever gone to that conference.
Which conference was
Pension
it?
Bridge.
I didn't realize. That's what I thought you said.
And there were tons of experts in the field, all different, from risk to everything. And it was being new to replace Scott, being new as a new trustee. Early on, it was fairly intense. It was very fast-paced. There was a ton of information presented. I learned a lot. I also didn't learn a lot because it was so fast-paced. But it was an excellent conference. So I learned about risk. I know, Deborah, you brought up risk assessment. LDI, they talked about LDI again. The gentleman that opened up, who actually hosted the conference, basically is doom and gloom on the whole economy based off the QE and all the Fed's interactions and possibly another bubble is essentially what he's saying. So, but yeah, it was a great conference. I recommend it to all. So.
Okay. Anyone else? We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Sure,
so Will, to be with yourself.
Yeah.
Come
in there.
So the only risk is the advice you're getting, he's predicting.